process, in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And joining us this morning for a K1 Community Connection, we usually get the opportunity to talk with Superintendent Chuck McCauley after a Bartlesville School Board meeting on a Monday night. Also joining us this morning, Board President Scott Bilger. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in this morning.
You bet. Good morning.
And before we get to the heat of the matter from Monday night, you get the opportunity to recognize a whole bunch of students Monday night.
We did. You know, our winter sports season has come to an end, and last month we were able to focus to spotlight a lot of our music students, our band, orchestra, and choir. And this month we had the opportunity to celebrate many successes athletically, and it's been a great season for us. Our start off with our Palm girls, who always represent us so well. They won yet another state championship in their division.
Was that four consecutive?
I believe that's right.
I think
she said 6 out of 7 years since she's been there. It's been quite a run, and they have a tremendous program and really has, we found out that's an example of something that we've learned about on why that's important. You know, in our last bond issue, we had somebody come up to us and talk about, you know, that's why they're here. You know, they're moved up from Texas and were choosing between Jinx or Bartlesville because of the POM program. So Stephanie, they represent us very well. Coach Stewart recognized those young ladies. We had our wrestling team had the highest team finish in years. They finished 11th overall and had a first state champion not named Hamilton in quite a while. Leif Jones is a state champion, and those kids are all the placers and are coming back next year. So glad to see that. I believe Austin Manley, who qualified, really proud of him for qualifying for the state tournament, was a senior. He graduated. Our basketball teams had a great year. Our boys made the area tournament for the first time in 3 years. And our girls team had a historic run. They were, as everyone knows, they were undefeated the regular season. They won the regional championship and won the consolation area championship. They were disappointed to lose in the first round of the state tournament. It's the first time in 26 years our girls have played in the state tournament. They represented us so well. And our community, it's really quite an experience when you come to that level of basketball game and see the community support that was down at Tulsa.
And you return a lot of talent to next year. A lot of sophomores and juniors coming back. I assume
that's exactly right. They have an excellent group, especially a core group of juniors returning. And Coach Bynum did a great job for them. And I told those young ladies when they were on the stage, I plan to see them next year, and hopefully we'll be talking about a gold ball next year. So they did a great job representing us. And of course our swim teams, and I've known those kids for a long time. My son's finishing up his junior year swimming, and I was thinking about that senior class. I can remember when many of those guys started when they were, you know, 7, 8 years old, and see them grow up. And they just finished their fourth state championship in a row. You know, when they were freshmen, they kind of took the state by surprise for folks that didn't follow swimming. And now it's just, they could split their team and win first and second. They're really a dominant force.
It's a good thing, but a bad thing. We've come to expect it now.
That's exactly right. It's amazing. You know, for years without winning that level of team state championships, we had a great run in the 80s. So our girls finished first again. I think we have 5 girls off that team that's going to go on and swim in college next year. And then our boys swim team finished 3rd overall. Really proud of their effort as well. And they were also named the state academic champions. So that means that they're the highest team grade point average in the state of Oklahoma. So they continue. Chad Englehart has done a tremendous job leading that program. And with the support of Phillips 66, they'll continue to thrive. So moving over to the academic side, we did. One of the swimmers, actually Allison Benninger, was recognized as a academic All-Stater. We have one this year. They only name 100 in the state, and we've had several kids that qualified for that. However, she was the lone recipient of Bartlesville High School, and she always continues to represent us very well. She's one of our kids that has been to the International Science Fair, and I'm sure she'll qualify again. Very talented young lady. And then lastly, we recognize one of our own, LaDonna Chancellor. She was recognized as the Chamber of Commerce. They had their Women in Business Gala last month, and she received the award for investing in our future. And LaDonna's definitely done that. She's been the high school principal with us the last 6 years. has really been part of bringing the mid-high and high school together. A lot of people have already kind of forgotten we had a mid-high not that long ago, so she's really done that very well. Everything that she does really has the kids at the forefront of her decision-making, and really glad she's on our team.
But the longest introduction of the evening was for Granger Metter.
I wanted to make sure we did that presentation, I'll briefly go through that on the radio with him. Granger made a presentation, and I've known him for a long time. We worked together at the high school, but Granger's because he gave the presentation, he was went to Putnam City West High School, where he was a National Merit Scholar and also was a Presidential Scholar. It means he was named one of the top 100 seniors in the country. He went on and actually was a top male in the state of Oklahoma. They flew that group to the White House to meet President Reagan. He went on to the University of Oklahoma, where he was the outstanding sophomore in engineering physics, and later chose to get an education, thankfully for us in our community, where he was named the outstanding senior. And he's taught physics for 28 years before moving into administration full-time. Last year, he was kind of doing two roles. He's currently leading our one-to-one initiative technology, and does a great job communications, getting information out.
Former state teacher of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So his teaching career is really unparalleled. He was a two-time Bartlesville High School and district teacher of the year. He's a state finalist for the teacher of the year. He also in 2004 received the Oklahoma Foundation for Excellence, which is the same group through David Boren that recognized the academic all-staters. He was named the outstanding secondary teacher in the state. And his presentation came out about his leadership on the teachers group. He's been the chief negotiator on the teacher side back when he was in that role too. So he truly does have a great understanding of everything that comes along with education.
Yeah. Well, that was all important to show off all that leadership and excellence. But what most of the people came to the meeting for, the reason that it was held where it was held, was another issue having to do with money.
Sure. And I'll start where we landed, and I'll turn over, let Scott talk a little bit more about too. But so we did have two action topics, and what the board approved is to give the superintendent, give me authority to, if necessary, if we have a teacher walkout, to give me the authority to cancel, to close all district schools. And as everyone knows, the Oklahoma Education Association has targeted April 2nd as the date for them. Hopefully that if the funding hasn't happened by April 1st, if they haven't met that deadline, that would be the date to target. And so the way that'll work just logistically would be basically in the spring, we would treat those like snow days. I jokingly said during the meeting, except we won't have to call it off at 5 o'clock in the morning. We would do what makes sense, hopefully, and we would make up those either time or days down the road. So that's what happened. I'll say that my plan is to be in school April 2nd. I'm hoping that's not something that we have to do, but we're planning accordingly.
Well, and I think it's always important, I'll compare you to the Boy Scouts, to be prepared.
That's right. We're doing, we have a community group that's been planning for, if we get to that, about how to take care of, because half our kids qualify for free and reduced lunches, and so that's obviously a big concern for us, because many kids, the best meal they get during the day is at school. And so we have a plan to address that as well.
Well, we'll take a short break and welcome Scott to the microphone when we continue on K1 in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our community connection on 1400 K1 and Scott Bilger, board president. I have said for years to Gary Quinn and now to Chuck, bring a board member with you sometime. We'd love to talk to him. Thanks for coming in this morning.
I don't know that this is the best week or best week for me to be here, but thank you.
Well, as board president, it was board vote, it was board action, and as board chairman, I'll say your leadership collectively and individually that brought us to the point where we're at right now.
Well, we spent a lot of time, and one of the things, we meet with our legislators, our local three legislators, every first Friday of the month throughout the year, and so this has been dialogue that we have and maintain with them, and we appreciate that for a long time. So This is something that we've told them for many, many years. We're not always going to be just somebody that says, help us, give us more money, give us more money. So if there's an absence of a plan, we'll try to come up with one. And so I think that's what you saw. We spent quite a bit of time with that. But I think, you know, there's no pride in authorship of our plan. There's a number of plans that can be generated. And more than anything, there's got to be a willingness to get in there and come up with something. And, you know, the three of us could sit here and come up with a plan before we leave here in 30 minutes. That's not the magic of it. The magic is that we've got to be willing to get in there. And there, if new revenue is not part of the plan, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I think Allison summed it up very well when she said that this was hopefully phase one, step one of what needed to be done.
This needs to be phase one, step one. This is the urgent, let's do this now. After this, we have elections. We have elections in June. We have elections in November. Next school year, what I'm hoping for is that we don't get the bad news that, oh, now we have another percent cut, another 2% cut. This needs to be the starting. This is the let's do something big right now, and then we keep going. Everyone has to keep paying attention. You have to hold your legislators accountable. You should hold everyone accountable who works for you.
And I think that summed up a lot of what was said here that Monday night.
Yeah, I think it does. I think the general theme that we've seen is from 2008, 2009 until today, we've seen a continuing decline. And more than anything, we need to stop the decline and begin to move the other direction. During that time, we've had an increase in students in Bartlesville, but we've had a much bigger increase in students statewide. And we've seen the addition of students through virtual and charter schools that when you increase the denominator, that's a lower number for everybody statewide. And we've got to see that turn around. We've got to see that stop, and we've got to start moving in the right direction.
It seems as though it was September when I remember the preliminary conversations in the board meeting on school funding topic.
Yes, that's something that, again, in Bartlesville, we focus quite a bit on. We can't sit and just accept the fate that we are dealt from the legislature, whether that's federal. We receive federal funds, we receive state funds, but we've got to do things to control our own destiny. And so that's what you saw with our last bond issue, where we tried to focus on moving operational costs, or moving money that can be paid for with bond dollars so we can free up operational costs. We've done that. We've pretty much exhausted that avenue. So there's not anything else for us to do here locally. We've got to have some help from the state, and we've got to do some things to generate new revenue sources for not only Bartlesville, but for statewide for our K through 12 schools.
Yeah, and this is something that I know that you have made the case of. The community, I think, has made that case when we were talking about the bond issue that it's a matter of being able to make best use of the dollars that are left. And education, not the only state agency that says somewhere when they're back in early part of the fiscal year, they're saying this is the money we expect to allocate. But when it comes to writing the checks in February, March, April, May, it's significantly less.
Yeah, that's one of the stranger things that you learn when you become involved with public schools is we set our budget and we almost 90% of our budget is salaries and benefits. And we put teachers under contract in June for the upcoming year. And so that money is committed throughout the year. And then so when you get a revenue shortfall that comes in November or February or March, that money has already been committed. And so out of the remaining 10%, you've got to come up with the money that the amount of the revenue shortfall. That's tough to do. And we've had to do that now, I believe, four straight years. Anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 to almost $400,000.
I can remember Emery Pitzer every year talking about we have to protect that fund balance. And the melody hasn't changed.
No, it has not. And that's one that I always, people talk about fund balance, and we were as low as 5%, but that 5% is measured on the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. When we are talking about going through the calendar year and making payroll, that amount gets very, very low. It is nowhere close to 5% at that point in time. So you think about your checking account over the course of a year. At the end of the year, it's 5%, but it is way below that at different points in time during the year because the revenue doesn't all come in on a equal amount each of the 12 months.
Do you want to talk about the Time Is Now OK plan?
I'd love to. It's a plan that we put together. It's not dramatically different from what you saw with Step Up, which is the measure that failed most recently in special session, I believe, in February. And kind of like we talked about earlier, it's not, we didn't come create this from scratch. It's like a lot of things. You borrow and learn from proposals in front of you. We've seen a sales tax proposal in State Question 779 last year that failed. Now that's starting to be regenerated or regurgitated, I guess, from some in the state legislature. We've seen that's come and gone. It was voted down by the people and wasn't decided as the appropriate manner to fund schools. So, but our plan, kind of looks at a lot of different taxes. The biggest one, or the biggest dollar amount in that, is gross production. And it goes under our proposal from 2 to 5. Very short time ago, it was 7. And for the old vertical well companies, it's still 7, and has been for years. So that's the biggest single component of it, but it gets into a tax on cigarettes, a fuel tax. It gets into a lot of different things, but at its core, on the funding side, it funds a $6,000 teacher pay raise, and then it takes approximately $115-120 million to put back into school funding. That's one of the things. This isn't just about a teacher pay raise. Right now, when you look at the 6 states that surround us, we are over $1,000 per kid short of the next highest state. So this doesn't begin to get us up to $1,000 per kid increase in school funding, but like I said earlier, we've got to start moving the other direction. We've continued to decline as we have a lower amount of money and a greater number of kids to distribute it to. So we've got to start going in the other direction. So it starts to do so through an increase in per pupil funding. And then it also puts, I believe, a little over $200 million towards what we deemed core state services, which, that's not an area we deal with. We know that was a big part of Step Up. We know there are needs there, but we're not going to get into from our standpoint and telling the Department of Transportation or Department of Health where they should spend their money. But we know that there's a need there, so we piggybacked off pretty much what Step Up did there.
I linked our story to the website that Granger had up there for the Time Is Now Okay plan, so listeners can go and consult that and learn more. I would also recommend they look at the presentation, the PowerPoint that's part of that. The charts and graphs, and there's also links to the supporting documentation from whatever agency we're talking about, frequently either authoritative magazine articles or U.S. government data that shows a lot of it.
Yeah, and that's something that's important to us. We want to be able to put numbers out there, because lots of numbers flying around and coming from a lot of different places, but we want to try and always reference where we're getting our data from. The last thing that I think you'll see us do is put something out there that isn't supportable or documented as far as a source.
So assuming that April 2nd comes around and Mr. McCauley says we don't have sufficient staff to staff the operation that day, just walk us through what happens then, either of you.
Sure, we would announce those that day, similar like we would when we were having inclement weather day. And so what that means, we would not have classes. And so I know that there's community support that plans to that's planning for going to the Capitol. And that's going on statewide at that time. But basically, we would not be in classes. And then we have a plan, just depending on how far that goes. What the board approved was to give me authority to do that for up to 10 days. I think basically the way, in my mind, and of course this can change, but my thought would be, if we're not in school for a week, we would probably be scheduling a special board meeting the following week, if it's something that goes into the second week, for us to discuss what's our best option moving forward.
And if you look at the calendar that's part of that presentation, I think you're taking it a little bit of advantage of at least one spring break day as far as in service and that sort of thing?
Well, we have the spring break's actually next week, so this will be after. Okay. This will be after spring break.
Okay.
Too. Yeah. So we're making adjustments, working with our staff on what's the best plan we can. Obviously, without knowing all the variables, there's only so many things you can do.
And I'll refer people to the comments were made at the board meeting as well, as far as a local nonprofit that's trying to work to, I'll say, show some teacher recognition with discounts and that sort of thing. And I know plans are in place for feeding and also for opportunities that maybe families that need that supervised activity for their youngsters.
Right. That's right. That's right. And completely off topic, I should mention this as well, Charlie. Yeah. The week after spring break, Tuesday, we're going to name our district teacher of the year. I need to make sure I got that in.
Yeah.
And then that that first week in April, also, our foundation will be hosting their Teacher Hall of Fame event that week as well.
Tickets are still available.
That's right. And matter of fact, I think they're selling through Friday on those tickets. And that Hall of Fame event, by the way, regardless of what happens with the with school, that event's going to continue at that same time.
Well, I'd love to spend more time, but I'm up against the clock. Scott, thank you for coming in. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Chuck McCauley, thank you for coming in. And both of you, thanks to the collective leadership of administration and the board. Thank you very much.